been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, first off, even before we get into anything, before I say hi to Josh, I do have to say thank you to everybody who listens to us over on Spotify. They gave us our Spotify Wrapped Year in Review. We have put out 570 minutes of content this year, more than 61% of other creators in the sports category for podcast. We're in the top 25 most followed podcasts on Spotify, and you listeners, your personality, it says, are the enthusiasts. Your listeners are super fans. When their favorite podcast releases a new episode, they're among the first to know, going above and beyond to support the show. So thank you all for listening to us on Spotify. Thank you for your support. That is fantastic news to hear. We love doing the show. All those minutes you guys have listened to us this year and in the past 10 years, it has been a blast. What was not a blast? This past Sunday's game against Jacksonville.
What a segue.
Boy, yeah, thank you. It's a good segue, right? Yeah, felt good.
I mean, yeah, that's some of the good that we're going to highlight today, or very little.
Yeah, but before we get into this, who's talking? Joining me, as always, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How are you feeling after that Sunday loss to the Jags?
I'm still mad. look, I was hot the Bills game. The Giants game, yeah, that one was like the escalation. Now, this one, I don't know how much more we can take. The same old broken record, the same old story. I'm pounding the table, as you can hear. I am sick of this. What is going on? Another fourth quarter collapse, 9-point lead with 6 minutes to go. I mean, and then they had a 7-point lead with 2 minutes to go. I mean, you knew it. I don't even know where to start. I mean, we know where to start, but, bro, I knew when the Jaguars went up 7-6 and we let them hang around, looked at my dad, and I'm like, here we go. Giants game plus all over. And I'm having nightmares with that whatever mascot they got, what was going on. I don't know what that was, but I have nightmares.
And that USA Speedo, what was that?
Maybe he was giving Team USA over there in Qatar a little support. I don't know, but that I don't know. I'm still dumbfounded by that and the game. And dude, what is it with Jacksonville? I mean, you look at back in the history of this team, the only bright spot I can remember is the 2000 season when we came back and won 36-39 when the Shannon Sharp catch. Remember that at the goal line and across goal line? You thought you think about Jacksonville and the black cloud, the London drubbing, right? You think about the 12-7 game under Flacco when they went 12-4 and he had the abysmal Monday night game and Blaine Gabbert beat us. And then the Ravens made the division round that year and lost. It's like, what is it with this Jacksonville team? It's like, we already know it's weird. Even though we don't want to be associated with Indy, Indy's the old Colts we know and Baltimore, but it's like Indy is known for not winning in Jacksonville. You remember the red, like it was like the last six or seven I don't know. There's a streak that the Indianapolis Colts cannot win in Jacksonville, and neither can the Ravens, no matter where it's played. Bro, this takes the cake. I mean, you could probably put any one of the – I mean, you probably put – I'm going to rank the losses.
Yeah.
I hate to say this. Dolphins, Jaguars, Giants, Bills. Hate to do that because they're all ugly. They're all disgusting. I still can't believe we lost this game. I mean, good. Look, enough of the talk, soft schedule. Enough of that talk. You got to line up and play these games, and the Ravens continue to make these same mistakes over and over again. I mean, this team is the very definition of insanity, is it not? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I do agree with that. I will say, though, I think this one was the worst loss of the year so far because we're so far into the year. Like, the other ones were like, okay, they're getting their feet wet. They're getting into it. You know, it's kind of early still in the season. They're figuring out who they are. Players are coming back. We're still figuring all that out. But this right here, I mean, we're almost into December, okay? Like, this was supposed to be the team that was healthy, you know? And, yes, we were missing Kyle Hamilton, and, yes, we were missing Ronnie Stanley. Good news is it looks like they're going to be okay for this coming Sunday. But this loss felt different because the other losses you can be like, all right, the offense, you know, if we would have gotten that catch from Mark Andrews at the end, we would have been able to win it. If it was against the Dolphins or the Giants, I'm sorry, if it was the Giants' defense, if they could have just withstood that offense, we would have been able to come with a win. It was all these breakdowns. This was a full-blown team breakdown in Jacksonville, and I was hopeful and I was optimistic that this team was going to be able to win on Sunday. I even said on this show that I thought this team was going to win and they weren't going to let the Jacksonville Jags get a touchdown. But this Jacksonville team, when they want to bring it, they bring it. Like, they are a scrappy group of players. They can surprise you. So to see this game come down to the last kick, I mean, I wasn't surprised that Jacksonville hung in there. I do think the Ravens let them, but this was a full-blown team loss. This wasn't on Lamar's shoulders. This wasn't on the defense's shoulders. This was a full-blown, this entire team broke down. Because a lot of people afterwards were saying, God, all right, time to Lamar. He's not playing up to his contract. I mean, somebody told him that on Twitter right to his digital face. He's not worth that contract. You got to bench him. You got to do this. You got to do that. Lamar, he didn't play the greatest, but Gus Edwards came back. He fumbled the ball. Mark Andrews didn't make catches. He fumbled the ball. Josh Oliver didn't catch one in the end zone. Everything went poorly for this team on every side of the ball. Special teams, defense, offense, all of that didn't work out. And I will have to say one thing. I mean, I know we're covering a lot right now, but our good friend Glenn Clark, he does some of the local radio here in Baltimore. He actually had a caller call in. I really hope this was a joke, but at the end of the game, blamed the loss on Justin Tucker and said, this is Justin Tucker's fault for not making a 67-yard field goal.
I think so highly of Tucker that a fan's calling in pissed off that he can't make a 67-yarder, which would have broken his own record, by the way.
Broke his own record.
My buddy made a point to say, like, he was like bittersweet. He's like, I wish that the Ravens would have won that game, but he goes, but I am relieved that Tucker missed that. And I was like, why in the world are you relieved? He's like, because the jersey that's framed on my wall that says NFL record 66 would be worthless. And I'm like, you're right, because I have a picture that's like that and describes 66-yard field goal. So he would have broken his own record. It would have been like, now the thing's worth like $5 now. It's not even a record anymore. And then we have to get that one signed. So
right. It
would have been awesome. And while we're speaking about that, when it was kicked and in the camera angle, I thought he nailed it. I'm like, that's it. And my dad's like, he made it. My heart was racing so much. I'm like, did he just do that? And then like it falls short. And I'm like, I literally stood in front of TV frozen and was like dead silence. I was just like, I couldn't move. I was like, what happened?
So yeah, Josh Oliver, if he would have been able to go one extra yard, maybe two extra yards before going out of bounds, you could have had a shot and Justin Tucker may have made it. So, I mean, this really was a full-blown team breakdown. And I mean, I know we talked about it when they lost the last couple games, but I really do feel like somebody's losing their job. I hate to say that. You hate to have anyone go through something like that, but we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, and it comes down to these final moments. The Ravens are losing within seconds of the game. They're letting teams hang around, but it's the same story every single game, and it's like the Ravens don't learn from it.
No, they haven't learned from it, starting with the play clock. My God, what is going on with that? Like, yeah. This is week, what, 20? It feels like. and you still have the same issues. I'm like, me and my dad were beside ourselves watching this game together. Like, what is going on? And to my dad's point, when we were watching the game, you wonder why the offense is so screwed up. It starts from there at the beginning. They're so erratic getting the ball off that when it's off, Lamar's frantic. They don't know where they're going. Everything's rushed. Dude, this is what happens in preseason. You need to get that fixed.
Yeah.
Week one, maybe. Week two, we'll give you a pass. Maybe after that, get a move on. It's week 12 going on week 13, right, if I'm not mistaken. Ravens are making the mistakes that are of what bad teams do, and they're consistently doing it. Now, I did see it way less, if not didn't see it at all, in the second half. So there was an adjustment me, but I had discussions on Twitter. I'm like, who's the blame? Because folks are all, of course, blaming eight. They're blaming Lamar. And I'm like, but I see him, like, I see, like, Lamar, like, in his ear, like, he's doing this thing with his helmet and earphones. The play's called in from, obviously, upstairs from Roman. It gets to the team. Lamar's reading the thing on his thing, and then they break the huddle. It's like 8 seconds left. I'm like, guys, get a move on.
Right.
They were praising. You've seen fans chew him up even worse after the Monday night win with Pittsburgh because Kenny Pickett is getting a team in line as a rookie and getting and everything's fluid. And I'm like, what is going on? And it's a combination. That's coaching and it's on the quarterback because the quarterback's got to – everybody's got to be on the same page. The quarterback relays all that to the offense, obviously, and the play's got to get in. So I say it starts from coaching at the top and it trickles down to the quarterback. So that's a holistic approach there. That was an issue all day. You touched on it too, catching the ball. We saw at least three touchdowns dropped.
Yeah.
Hit Marcus in the hands in the back of the end zone. Mark Andrews had two of them. I mean, what gives? And there was drops not even in the end zone, but all over the field. And Lamar was inaccurate. He's got to get that under control.
Yeah.
Bro, earlier in the year, remember? Jets game, week one, deep pass, won the money. He overthrows.
And that was a rainy game too against the Jets. I was thinking like maybe this could be because it did rain. It did delay the game a little bit.
It wasn't raining during the game starting though.
But you do make a good point. Like the Jets, he was accurate, but that was like a full blown rainstorm as it was happening. This was over.
He had Bateman.
There you go.
You're missing something. He had Bateman in week two. Remember 75-yard touchdown to Bateman on a slant route, took him to the house. All the long touchdowns, long passes are for Rashad Bateman, who is injured. He's out for the year. The problem with this team, and look, I'm not gonna sit here and go and holier than thou rant on a wide receiver rant, but the fact of the matter is, Brandon, the number one receiver on this team is DeMarcus Robinson. What's that tell you? Yeah, it says a lot. DeSean Jackson caught a 62-yard pass, and that was a beautiful pass beautiful catch. And he was picked off the street, and apparently, from Next Gen Stats, he logged the fastest wide receiver speed running all season, and he picked up off the street. He's mid-30s. He's old as I am, running out there, running around. Like that's who the Ravens are working with. And mind you, and I had this discussion, I brought this up, because everybody's like, well, again, Jalen Hurts got A.J. Brown, and blah, 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 and Tua got a couple of toys down there in Miami, man. And I'm like, Lamar won an MVP. You know who his leading receiver was? Still on the team, Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews led all receiving, receivers, tight ends, everybody, that year. He caught 64 balls, over 800 yards, and 10 touchdowns. The second leading receiver was the first wide receiver on that list was Marquise Brown. He had 500 yards and a handful of touchdowns. So Lamar threw 36 that year. 10 of them went to a tight end, leading receiver on the team. So you can see Lamar thrives on that. He thrives in two tight end sets, albeit whether it's a likely Andrews or Oliver Andrews or a Boyle Andrews or some combination. And Lamar loves the deep ball. You've seen it in New York week one. You've seen it week two at home. You see those highlights. You've seen the long pass with DeSean in week three. What was his MVP year? Remember Miami week one? Bombs after bombs after bombs. I feel like Lamar thrives on that. This whole intermediate and this whole being accurate, it's like it's almost like it's beyond him's game anymore. It's like he either runs it or he throws it a long way. It's like two-dimensional at this point. But long story short of it, here's the list. Play clock issues, drop passes, Lamar being inaccurate. But then there was another thing about the Marcus Robinson touchdown that would have been, it was pretty much wide open, a walk-in that blew the game open. Someone mentioned this on social media that, well, it'd be nice to have a receiver track the ball. I have to go back and look at that highlight to see, was it really Lamar overthrowing? Because, and I'm not picking up that one pass as not Lamar's fault, because Lamar did overthrow several folks in this game and has been all year. But someone said, if you look at the long pass against the Jets, you had Rashad Bateman tracking the ball. You didn't see that with DeMarcus. DeMarcus, my dad even said, and you've seen it, he like stopped and then sped up at the route. And I'm like, my dad's like, he made a point of it. We're watching the game together and we're like, if he runs through that catch, that's a touchdown. It's almost like, so it's like, you know, did he lose the ball? Did he get underthrown, overthrown? We don't know. I mean, you can break that down, whatever you think, but I mean, it was a missed pass. Don't get me wrong, no matter whose fault it is, but got to get better. Where was I? Yeah, drop passes, miscues, fumbles, turnover. Gus Edwards cannot cough the ball up there. At that moment, the Ravens were up two. You give it right there, there's a guaranteed three, if not seven. They did hold Jacksonville to three, but it gave them a one-point lead, and then the Ravens had to get back and take the lead and get 2 points to take the lead by seven. So it was you just can't do that in a close game like that. It was mistakes compounding with mistakes, compounding with mistakes and coaching and everything else. That, and you're right, beginning. This is a complete team loss collapse. No one's really to blame. You can't, like I said, Miami, that was a defensive collapse. Ravens put up 38 points.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't the Ravens offense and wasn't Lamar's fault that they scored 28 points in the fourth quarter. That was all defense, and they let Waddle and Hill go gangbusters. You know, it was more or less, I would say, the offense's fault, more so in the Bills loss, because, you know, you had a couple red zone opportunities, didn't get it done. Lamar threw a red zone pick. They went for it on fourth down a few times, didn't get it. I mean, defense held their own, and nearly, I mean, they, you know, yeah, they scored two touchdowns and ultimately scored 20 underanswered points, but I don't really put that on the defense. The offense, turnovers, and the Giants game cost them. I mean, they held the Giants to 10 points with 6 minutes to go, and then all of a sudden, Lamar turns it over twice. The Giants convert. Two turnovers, 14 points, you do the story. That's the collapse of the offense there. So, and then you fast forward to this game, it's a total team effort. So, the Ravens, we thought in this win streak, that we figured out their identity, rushing the ball, defense, their defense finally came around. Now we're back to the same old story. And don't get me started on Marcus Peters. He's had three touchdowns. I think all three touchdowns on Sunday, if not, I'm not mistaken, came into him. The 2-point conversion was Stevens. It's disgusting. We made Zay Jones look like a Hall of Famer. He caught 11 balls. Zay Jones. You know who Zay Jones is? Go back to the Raiders game, Monday Night Football 2 years ago. Remember that name, Zay Jones? He's the one who did us in. Yeah, we have a habit of making like these middle of the road players, and then they emerge out of nowhere, and you're like, "Where did this guy come from?"
Who was the guy from the Bengals? New Year's Eve.
Tyler Boyd.
Tyler Boyd. Yep.
It's like third on the list now with Chase and Higgins. But I rest my case on that. But that's the fate. Like I mean, look, you got to give credit to Jacksonville, right? They fought. You know, Peterson had them coached up, and Lawrence made the throws. He was very accurate.
Yeah.
Poised, and you look at the tail of two quarterbacks. Lamar was flustered all day, right?
He was.
You didn't see that in Lawrence at all.
Nope.
And I noticed that too, and then it showed in the plays that were made. So, all in all, it is an end to a 4-game win streak. Look, they're still 7-4, but now things are tougher. You know, they still control their own destiny, but now that the Bengals have won, and the Ravens were the only loser. How about that? The Ravens were the only division loser of the weekend. The Browns beat the Buccaneers in overtime. Who saw that coming?
Yeah.
And that was Jacoby Brissett's last quarterback, by the way. We know who's coming in. We play them in 2 weeks. Steelers won on Monday night, and the Bengals beat the Titans. So right now the Ravens are tied with the Bengals at 7-4 atop the AFC North. Ravens have that slight edge. They hold the 4th seed in the playoff race because they did beat the Bengals earlier this year, which is great. Hold that tiebreaker. So things have gotten really thin. the ice has gotten thinner for the Ravens, I should say, on that. They still, like I said, they still have the control and destiny, but can you trust this team? Like at this point, it's like, do you really see, like how things are trending? It's almost like you really see the Bengals overtaking them in the division. I hate to say it, but I'm like, look, yeah, they have a fair schedule, fairly easy or easiest schedule. You know, factor remains until the last game of the year against the Bengals, which probably won't matter at this point. Again, that'll probably be a Sunday night or winner take all AFC North out. Watch it be. Hate to say that, but look, you have to look at the look on the brighter side. I mean, take it with a grain of salt, but the Ravens do play the Broncos this Sunday at home. Broncos are one of the worst teams in football, along with the Texans. So, and then the Bengals play the Chiefs. So you look at maybe in a week, Ravens beat 4, Bengals 7-5. Who knows? Then you gain that game edge. But you got to take the opponent seriously in front of you. And they didn't, and not, I wouldn't say they didn't really take Jacksonville seriously, but they gave Jacksonville every opportunity to take advantage of it. I mean,
yeah, I don't think they took Jacksonville seriously. I don't think the fans took Jacksonville seriously. I think everybody was looking forward to the Browns game in 2 weeks because I don't think anyone's thinking about Denver. They might now be, but I think at the bye week, everyone was just looking forward to the next divisional game and looking past these two teams.
Think about after the bye week, Brandon. Look at the last two games. They put up 13 points of offense and a lackluster performance, even though obviously the defense held them to 3. They won 13-3.
Yep.
Came out flat, at home, off a bye, and now this. Like, I don't know what that, but see, Jacksonville came off the bye. You know what I picked up on the broadcast right when the game started? The announcer said Jacksonville's come off the bye and they look fresh and ready to go. They talked to Doug Peterson. The team is ready to go and they're focused. I didn't hear that anywhere from Ravens folks.
Nope.
What did they do on the bye week? I mean,
you would hope they would use it to get healed up and everything. Like we talked about last week.
Or work on schemes or work on the fundamentals or something. Like,
yeah.
This team is so frustrating. I mean, ain't it fun being a Ravens fan and covering this team? I mean, my gosh. I mean, it's a new adventure every week. Just when you think you got them figured out and they're ascending in the AFC, big fat red egg. They laid a big egg, and now you're sitting here wondering if they can hang on. I mean, and look, I did some research. The Bengals, along with the Eagles – Eagles and Bengals are the top two teams in the NFL right now in red zone conversions into touchdowns. When the Ravens convert one of those two red zone trips and they take a 10-point lead instead of 6-0, game's over. But the fact remains is you got it goal to go. You're not even in the red zone, but some of these are goal to go on your 6-yard line, on the enemy's 6-yard line, and you're kicking 3 points. Soon as they went down 6-0, did not want to say it on social media. Didn't even want to speak it out loud, but I was like, game over.
Yep.
That's it. We've seen this before. They lost to a Bengals team 21-9 years back because the Bengals scored 3 touchdowns and the Ravens kicked 3 field goals. I mean, you got to score touchdowns. The Bengals, I think, are above 80% and when they get in the red zone, they're scoring a touchdown at 80% clip rate. Like, they're scoring. They have the same record as us. We better get it together. I know we beat them. It seems eons ago. Ravens got to get together. I mean, dude, there's a whole laundry list. We covered it. If they don't correct these mistakes and these mistakes that are, I feel like they're fixable. It's not like it's like, oh, well, they have 20 guys on their IR and this isn't that. And I understand we're missing Kyle Hamilton. We're missing Marcus Williams and we're missing Ronnie Stanley and J.K. Dobbins. And they're all supposed to come back sooner or later, hopefully this coming month. But, you know, look, coulda, woulda, shoulda. It is what it is. Marcus Peters got to step up in the secondary. Secondary is the Achilles heel of the defense. I mean, I don't even see a bright spot in this game. The only bright spot somehow was Lamar accounted for over 300 yards of offense and had a high Pro Football Focus grade. Like, what is it, 99 or 90 or something? It was one of the highest graded quarterbacks of the weekend, which is insane. I don't know how they start that grading process, but everybody's got to get better. You're right. You don't want to see anybody's jobs lost. But I want to bring up something intriguing, man, because you know I'm not the biggest Greg Roman fan, as you know. It's no secret on the show.
Right.
Do you think he's the problem? It's not hard. Do you think it's him and not Harbaugh? Do you think Roman's the culprit with all this? Or do you think it's a collective with him and Harbaugh and the leadership up top? like a coaching staff issue.
I mean, obviously it comes down to Harbaugh. He's the head coach. He's the one that puts the final stamp of approval on these calls. However, Greg Roman has this track record of working with his QBs, getting them to a certain level, and then not being able to let them expand on their own skills. I mean, we saw that when he was with San Francisco with the 49ers and the guy that we went up against in the Super Bowl, and he only got so far. I don't want to see that happen to Lamar, but Greg Roman seems like he only has this ability where he can take guys so far. And Lamar is a special QB. He is a big deal. He's one of the best right now. He's a dual threat. However, when you have a guy making certain calls for certain plays, and it's the same thing over and over again, the league's going to get smart. They're going to figure things out. And I think Greg Roman is a little stale. Now, luckily, maybe potentially for the Ravens, Harbaugh did confirm today that Greg Roman has been contacted about the job opening at Stanford. He says it's preliminary talks right now. However, there might be some interest there where he leaves the Ravens to go coach at Stanford. As a Ravens fan, go to Stanford, dude. Go ahead. I think you'll do great there. And that might help us out, because, like I said, at the end of the year, I think it's either Lamar or Harbaugh that's going at the end of the year. If Greg Roman leaves, maybe that's a way we could keep Harbaugh and Lamar, keep everybody happy, because I think they have a good relationship. But I do think Greg Roman, I think he's holding Lamar back a little bit.
I've always said that, and we're not the only folks who probably think that theory is correct. Steve Young and Steve Smith and others have both come out publicly and kind of said the same thing. Steve Smith said it back in the preseason. Or I think he either said it preseason or last season, said it one of the seasons. And Steve Smith has been about it recently. They go back and look at their comments. It's out there. And not only that, but you mentioned Sam Fran in his days there, which obviously we played him in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And it's kind of funny because I've always felt that they chose to throw it four straight times inside the 10. I felt like if they'd have ran the ball with Gore or Kaepernick once, it probably would have, we would have lost the Super Bowl. But because see that philosophy. And I shared, I don't know if you call it the drift here, I shared a couple of screenshots of articles with Roman's tenure back in San Francisco. One was dated November 20th, 2013. Here's the headline. Almost 9 years ago. Actually, yeah, it was 9 years ago this month. The headline says, "Why Greg Roman's play calling is holding back the San Francisco 49ers."
Yeah.
And there's a, yeah, how about that? And right under that, there's a caption that says, "Is 49ers OC Greg Roman wearing out his welcome in San Francisco? ? Another article. There's no date on here. I couldn't find it. But the 49ers need to revisit their offensive scheme and let their QB grow. If not, no chance," says CBS sports analyst Pete Prisco back then. "If the 49ers offensive style is killing the 49ers offensive style is killing Colin Kaepernick more than anything." Prisco is not wrong. That's what the article says. And you have folks here saying that Lamar ain't going to reach his potential because of Roman's the simplicity of the offense is putting a lid on Lamar. I felt that for a while. And look, yes, these two won an MVP together on the same offense. We get that. But times have changed. That was then. This is now. 2019 was sweet. But this isn't sweet, and it needs to change. There needs to be somebody held accountable. And I'm tired of the coach speak. We got to get better. We got to do no. So hold somebody accountable. Let's call some people out and let's have a conversation. But until then, nothing's going to change. And it's the very definition of insanity, as most folks are calling it. And this team's not going to go anywhere. I mean, yeah, they might get lucky, win a division. They might get lucky, sneak in a wild card. But they're not trudging to Arizona. Let's be real here. If we play the Bills again, I think the Bills beat us handily. Don't get me started if we play the Chiefs. Like, you think this team right now can go toe-to-toe with those two, let alone maybe the Bengals or Titans in the playoffs? Give me a break. Like, they got to clean it up, and it starts this weekend. You have Broncos coming into town. They're in trouble. I mean, easy schedule. You could throw it out the window, man. Like, no, you got to line up, play these games, and take them seriously and execute. starts to scoring touchdowns when you need to, down in the red zone, out here, Harbaugh. I loved it. Well, look good in practice. Well, no kidding. Because you're walking through, you're not going live game speed, and you sure ain't going live game hitting against your own defense in practice. Sure, it looked great in practice. Don't get me on the Allen Iverson practice rant right now. I mean, come on. But rest my case. This one's going to be the good, bad, and ugly show, because we know it got uglier and uglier and uglier in the hours leading after the loss. But I want to forget this one and move on. This one leaves a bad taste for all. I mean, I think Ravens fans across the board are fed up. Now, yeah. They want somebody accountable. They want change. And when we can see it blatantly and we can identify it, but the team doesn't fix it. I mean, look, we're not football experts, right? But let's call it what it is. We can see it blatant and on our TVs and when we're live at the game. There's obviously something going on. Lamar's not having fun. He's frustrated. There's really basic mistakes happening across the board with this football team, and dude, it's got to get fixed at a quick pace here, or they're in trouble.
Yeah, the Baltimore Beatdown on Twitter at Be More Beatdown, they tweeted this out on Sunday. I'll leave it at this. Phil Simms from the halftime report, and they quoted this: watching this game, there's just no energy from the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson, not sharp. He's missed a couple guys down the field that were open. Not sharp. That's exactly what I saw. And that was at the half. No energy. These guys were just kind of going through the motions. They're not really caring what's going on. I don't want to say this team doesn't have any heart, because this team is built on heart. And it's just it sucks to see. It's rough to see. This team is in a rut. They seem to be stuck. I don't know what the answer is to get them unstuck and motivated again. But whatever Coach Harbaugh's doing, whatever Lamar is doing, is not working. Lamar needs to be a leader on this team. And if he's flustered and if he's on the field and he looks like he's being outplayed, that's a really bad sign. We know how good Lamar is.
We do. But then not only that, but we know how good Lamar can be and is, and his potential and his talent. We know he's a great athlete and he's a great guy. Great people, person, great media, right? But we understand he's human. He lets the things get the best of him, and things got ugly, didn't they? Not only that, but, you know, the whole leadership and all that, he showed a little bit of human. I mean, we're all human, right? He's not perfect, and he took to the socials and said a few words, fired back at a fan who criticized him. And to me, that shows that he can't take the criticism. Like, you're going to fire back and clap back at a fan who knows virtually nothing, which we get, and obviously Lamar called that out. At this point, you already know what was said. We're not going to repeat it on the show. We already know what he said. Everybody does, and if it's no secret, talk to a Ravens fan. Everybody's got a screenshot of it. Everybody knows what he said. So, I don't condone that from anybody who I root for or support. But look, we've all said bad things, including myself, and we have to, you know, repent about that and have to ask for forgiveness from the folks that we do. But he did something immature, but also let it get best of it. And am I defending it? No, I'm just saying I understand it, because we've all done that. I'm guilty. I'll raise both hands. Like, we've said things in heat of moon. We're like, yeah, I was immature. I shouldn't have said that. But we're emotional creatures. We're humans. We thrive off of that. So, you know, not that it was a bad thing said, but I always go back to, not that it wasn't, this isn't in no way on the level of what Lamar did, but, you know, it's kind of like, remember the interview with Aaron Andrews when Richard Sherman, when the Seahawks and they won the NFC title game against San Fran, he shut down Crabtree and it was in the heat of moment. And she was like taken back. Like, I think about that, like, especially in the NFL, that was way different, because it was, they're going to the Super Bowl, you defeated your division rival in the championship game, and he was fired up about shutting down a certain receiver, right? Lamar clapped back at a fan being frustrated after an ugly loss where he obviously needed to be better. And that was unbecoming, because wasn't it just a few weeks ago? It was like a week ago. Wasn't it during the Panthers game, I believe, when Fox was covering it with Laura Oakman? Remember, he interviewed with Laura, and he called her Miss Laura, and she's like, you know, what a stand-up guy, and we already know what Lamar does in the community. So to see that happen to him and him succumb to that, it's just disappointing. I would say I'm disappointed in him, but we know he can do better. I was kind of iffy what Harbaugh said about it. It was kind of like half defending him in a sense, and it might sound like I am, but again, I'm not. I'm just saying, I understand. You know, you can understand it, but still condone it. Hate the sin, but not the sinner, right? But that's just my take on it. I mean, he's got to be better. But I do agree with what Harbaugh said. He does warn his players of the perils of going to social media in that realm because it's an ugly place. It's become, we can agree, even though we use social media for our good, there's a lot of toxic out there, man. It can trap you. And if you're not careful, it can spiral out of control really quickly because screenshots live forever. Receipts, man, receipts. Got to be careful. And I've learned from my things because I've said some things on social media I probably shouldn't have. We all have. And you got to learn to refrain from that and be slow to speak and understand that, you know, hey, it's going to be okay at the end of the day. But, you know, that can't happen from a team leader, especially a leader that wants to be paid. And the Ravens need to really proceed with caution with that. But I'm sure it was handled in the back end. And hopefully it's a one-off with Lamar. And it was just so out of character. Like Harbaugh said, we agree. Like, never seen that out of him. Like, it just was weird. Like, I was like, almost like it was like folks were like, did Lamar get hacked? Because he said that. And I'm like, when I got wind of it, I was like, he said what? And I saw it. I'm like, I just put my head in my hands. I'm like, dude, no. Like, we'll see you, bro. We'll see you.
What Lamar said is uncalled for. That was really disappointing to see him lash out the way he did. Obviously, he does not handle criticism well. And I think, again, this stupid contract is looming over this entire season since the very beginning. This stupid contract, because again, if Lamar does really well, what do we see? We see Lamar holding up a sign that says, pay the man. If he doesn't do well, we have fans coming out going, this is why we're not paying him. This is this, this is that. Lamar was right in saying that guy's never been on the field before. He doesn't understand it because he doesn't. You and I, we are Ravens fans. We love this team. That's what we said. Hey, we're going to talk about the Ravens anyway. Let's just put some mics in front of our faces and let other people be a part of the conversation. But the things that he said at the end to that fan, really childish, really uncalled for, really offensive, unnecessary. When I say that, I'm still waiting for Lamar to apologize for what he said. He did talk to Jameson Hensley and said how he didn't like what he said. It was defamation. It was this, it was that, it was that, whatever. But we haven't had Lamar come out and say, like, I shouldn't have said it. Whatever. It is what it is. Like, because you do have to own up. You made a mistake, Lamar. Just say that you made a mistake and say it was wrong of me to say that, because it was. I can understand you being completely frustrated at that fan. Like, you just lost the game. You're frustrated. I get it. Like, that is really difficult. And again, like you said, Josh, he's only human. Frustration is an emotion that a lot of us are always trying to figure out. You got to remember too, Lamar's only 25. Like, he's still a young kid, and he has his own kid, but he's a young kid who he's going to be one of the first QBs, you know, growing up on social media. That stuff lives forever. So I think Lamar needs to handle himself better. Maybe hand his phone over to one of his buddies while he cools down after a game is a smart idea. I think coming out and apologizing for what he said is a good idea. But I also think that Lamar is a huge role model to young kids out there. Peter Schrager, a couple weeks ago, he was out in L.A. His wife took his son to a Baltimore Ravens game in Baltimore for his birthday. They live up in New York, so they're, you know, Giants, Jets fans for the kids. But the kids love Lamar. Young kids see Lamar as this young QB who's, you know, taking out Tom Brady and doing all this other kind of stuff. Like, he's a young kid who's showing off, and you don't have to be in Baltimore or a Ravens fan. You know, he's kind of like the new age Ray Lewis. All of our friends that listen to this show worldwide, we always ask, how did you find the call? They always say, well, I saw Ray Lewis play, and I loved his play, so I just stuck with the Ravens, even though he retired. That's young kids now with Lamar. They didn't grow up Baltimore Ravens fans, but they saw Lamar and went, oh, I like the way this guy plays. I see myself in him. Maybe I could be a QB one day in the NFL. So it's a lot of responsibility on Lamar's shoulders, and a lot of people can't handle that responsibility. But if you're in an NFL jersey, you represent the NFL, the crest is on your chest. If you are a Baltimore Ravens player, the Baltimore Ravens logo is literally on the side of your head. The shield is on your arm. You know, you stand for a lot more than yourself. You stand for young kids. You stand for your team. You stand for your city. You are a representation of what that team matters and means to other people. So I think Lamar made a big mistake. I think he needs to own up for it. I also think Ravens fans who are also emotional also need to stay off of social media after a game. You don't need to directly tweet at your quarterback and say, hey, you need to do a better job. I'm pretty sure he's aware of that. So it goes both ways. That random Twitter guy, he didn't need to tweet that out. Lamar didn't need to respond the way he did. Be civil to each other. You know, if you don't like what a Ravens player is doing, decompress a little bit. Think about it first. Study some film and then make a comment. Write yourself a blog or do a podcast. Everybody thinks because they have their phone and they can access Twitter and write in 140 characters that their opinion is, you know, gold. Not always is. There's always two sides to every story. So I think that there's a lot that can be learned from this situation. Hopefully Lamar going forward can make better decisions, because I hope he's in the league for a long time. I hope he's a Raven for a long time. But this right here, I was really annoyed, and I was really upset that Lamar chose to go that route.
Yeah, I think we all were. Like I said, I was certainly, as soon as I saw it, my knee-jerk reaction was, yeah, very disappointing, very disgusting. And so we can put it past him. You know, forget that, you know, this is, in the grand scheme of things, a blip on the radar, depending on what his future is. But it's a bad week, right? Just want to forget everything, and you want to just move on to, you know, brighter days, and, you know, hopefully they can take it to the opponent. And what better way to do it than the Broncos, right? Hey, why don't you go out and stomp them by 30 and then prove a point? But, you know, knowing the Ravens, they'll let them hang around in the fourth quarter and watch Russell Wilson light them up. And he hasn't laid anybody up this year. Very disappointing. And they have their own disappointments on their end. But yeah, before we get to the Broncos game, coming off of Thanksgiving week, we weren't thankful for that Ravens performance. But there was a bright spot. One of the great Ravens defensive guys, Calais Campbell, he obviously returned to Jacksonville. It's crazy. It's funny we call it a return, because he started his career in Arizona in 2008. He played in Arizona for like near a decade. Then goes to Jacksonville for 3 years, and then goes to Baltimore. So, but his last team was obviously Jacksonville. He goes back to Jacksonville with the Ravens. I think this was the first time that, you know, he's seen Jacksonville as a member of the Ravens, because he apparently got an ovation, and he entered the game with 98 sacks in his career. He's a 15-year NFL veteran. Got number 99, so that's a bright spot for him. And you know, to have Calais do that was fantastic. But not only that, but we have, for our fans, another special treat this year. Not only this year, but this month. What do we got, brother?
It's pretty amazing. The call was invited by Campbell's Soup to the Maryland Food Bank, where Calais Campbell was helping pack up some meals going out to the community. And I'm actually, you know, I got this email a little while ago, and I'm on vacation at the moment, so I'm still bringing the call to you guys. So I've been out of town, but at the beginning of this week, you, Josh, actually got to go to the Maryland Food Bank and chat with Baltimore Ravens Calais Campbell, which, I mean, I'm so bummed that I missed out on it, but man, what an experience. You got to have now sat down within a month with two separate Baltimore Ravens players, current Baltimore Ravens players, on the call.
Isn't it special? Isn't it great? I mean, like we said, we waited all these episodes and all this time to finally get these moves run. And, but it all started this year with 300, right? With Jimmy's. It started right. You know, we got the party kicked off, and this year's been a blessing. No matter where the Ravens end up, we have to look back on this year's monumental. Our 10th year, 300th episode to celebrate, and our second Ravens player being featured and interviewed on the Call podcast. So fantastic. And yeah, the 6-time Pro Bowler, defensive end Calais Campbell, he did visit the Maryland Food Bank Monday after the game, albeit. He flew back with the team, fresh back in Baltimore on a Monday morning, serving his community. How about that? And he was joined by his mother. That was fantastic to see. Volunteerism is important. It's important not only with me personally, but it's important staple for the Ravens and what they have in the community. But that set the stage for the interview and what the situation was about. Obviously, he was there, you know, with the partnership with the Baltimore Ravens and the Maryland Food Bank. They were, the partnership is donating 100,000 meals. So, and Calais is going to talk about that in a little bit. But the partnership with Campbell's Chunky Soup here with Calais Campbell, they do these things where they help donate products for Raven, in like Ravens tackles in exchange for products. So for every tackle the Ravens log this year as a team on defense, Campbell's is donating 25 products per tackle. So, wow. So far this season, to date, they have over 15,000 products donated. So shout out to Campbell's Chunky for that. And it, and not only that, but the Ravens are one of 11 teams across the NFL that have this partnership and initiative. The Ravens are also in this with the Cincinnati Bengals, Chicago Bears, Indianapolis Colts, Philadelphia Eagles, New York Giants, Detroit Lions, Green Bay Packers, LA Rams, Seattle Seahawks, and the Tennessee Titans are all on board on this initiative. And I did get a chance to catch Calais after his volunteer event, after his tour of the facility. And, you know, we just caught up with him for a couple quick moments. And, you know, he's going to go into what the initiative is all about. So here it is, Baltimore Ravens defensive end Calais Campbell. Well, Calais, thanks for joining us today. Can you share with us why we're at the Maryland Food Bank today?
Yeah, I'm here with Campbell's Chunky. We're giving away 100,000 meals to the food bank here, which is incredible. I'm happy to be a part of. It's a great partnership. You know, something that you know, I mean, I've been a you know, wanted to be a partner with Campbell's Chunky Soup for a long time, and so it's kind of cool to be able to do some good in the community. This community has been very, very special to me and my family, and so it's awesome to be able to try to give back and do so with the great people.
Absolutely. Why is the Campbell's partnership so important to you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, my last name being Campbell and, you know, just knowing what they do in the community and who they are, you know, it's awesome. You know, I mean, I think, you know, all these, you know, top companies and stuff, you know, they don't have to do anything, but knowing that they choose to go back and help out and tackle food insecurity in Maryland, You know, I think that's super cool, you know.
Absolutely.
Chunky sacks hunger, you know what I mean? that just fits, you know, playing football, you know, going out there trying to, you know, make plays, get sacks, and do a good thing, you know, on the football field. But then also, you know, I've always had a, you know, strong desire to help the community, you know, and just in doing so, you know, it's always try to learn more efficient ways of doing so and creating great partnerships and with the right people. And yeah, we're giving away 100,000 meals. Like, that's incredible. You know,
absolutely.
I mean, you don't get that easy. You know, so I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Of course. Lastly, what's your favorite soup?
You know, I like the steak, the sirloin steak and potato. My mom likes the gumbo.
Okay.
You know, to each their own. You know, everybody likes what they like.
Absolutely. The spicy line's pretty good, right?
Yes, it is.
Absolutely. Well, Calais, thank you for your time today. I love the community partnership that you're doing.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. What a treat there. Calais Campbell getting out into the community, doing some amazing work with Campbell's Chunky Soup. Absolutely fantastic. Go check them out and check out the Maryland Food Bank as well. Like Josh said, if you are interested in volunteering, if you want to be a part of that in any way, go over to their Twitter at MD Food Bank, or you can go to mdfoodbank.org if you are ever interested in volunteering with them. Josh, what was that like, man? Just tell me what it was like standing next to Calais Campbell.
Well, a lot of my friends, one of my friends got whiffed of the photo because I kind of previewed it, and a lot of folks are like, "He's a really tall man, and you're a really short dude." I thought that, like, everybody was laughing at the stature. I mean, it was the same way with the Mark picture. I'm like, I am a small dude. I mean, when I met Flacco's 6'5". I'm 5'5". So do the math.
Flacco's like 5'5"? Really?
5'5". You didn't know that? Yeah.
No, I didn't.
So the secret's out. So I'm like, when I meet Flacco, I have to look straight up. I'm like, "Hi, Joe." Like, every Ravens player I meet, I like have to break my neck to look up. I'm a small dude, but not ashamed of it. Small but mighty. Yeah, it's all good. Short, you can bring on the short jokes, but no, it was great. No, short jokes aside, you know, Calais was awesome. Very personal to meet. You know, very soft spoken. Just seeing him, what he can do. You know, serving the community, he had a big smile on his face the whole time, doing what he does. and just a labor of love. And I really appreciate the time that he took out of his day to meet, you know, with the meeting, including the call podcast. It was great. You know, shout out to Maryland Food Bank for hosting the event. I appreciate them having me there as well. And the invite for Campbell's Chunky. We appreciate the reach out and the invite to be a part of the volunteer initiative. It was great. Great to be a part of, the great to partake and see him in action, and what Campbell's Chunky and is partnering with the NFL and doing the fight hunger. And you know, it's an important initiative, important thing out there, man. And you know, Clayus, and you know, of course, where how he ended when I asked him what his favorite suit was, what's your favorite suit, man, when I ask you. And I know it's not going to be a ranch. There's no ranch flavored suit, so don't go there.
You know what's really weird? I mean, it's not Chunky, but I gotta say, like, I'm a tomato soup guy. I really like
it, man.
I love tomato soup. However,
and grilled cheese, boy.
Great. Tomato soup and grilled cheese. That's like a perfect snow day meal. However, I hate tomatoes. So like anytime I have like a burger or a sandwich or something, I say no tomato because I can't stand an actual tomato. I love the flavor of tomatoes. I don't like the consistency of them.
I'm like that with bananas. Love the flavor of banana, but I can't eat a banana due to the texture because it's too salty. I don't like that mushy stuff. So here. But I can't do it.
My girlfriend and I went out once, and it was like a you pick two, half a sandwich and a soup. And I'm like, I'll take the tomato soup, and I'll take the turkey sandwich, no tomato. And the waitress just kind of looked at me like, what?
He is
and
weird. I'm like, ranch on his wing.
I'm like, I know, I get it. I'm like, it's a consistency thing, I swear. But she just kind of looked at me, and she's like, wait, you just ordered tomato soup. Why are you having no tomato on your sandwich? It makes no sense.
But I tell you what, the Campbell's Chunky has a new line out there, the spicy line.
Yeah.
Spicy chicken noodle and the spicy sirloin burger is pretty good.
Is it? Okay, I'll have to try those.
Yeah, and it's got a little bit of kick to it, but there's like levels. Like there's one, it's like flaming hot, and there's some that are mild, so it has a little meter there. But it's a new line out for this year, and obviously they're originals, man. You can't always go with the OG chicken noodle. It's always a good fall and winter time favorite, or pretty much any time, right? You can't go wrong with some good old Campbell's chicken noodle. I mean, but we know we appreciate Campbell's being out there, and you know, it was great. You know, even though we got a few moments with Calais there, it was just really great to connect with him and catch up with him. And we appreciate his time and his efforts out there. And what a great interview. So got that taken care of. And now we're onward to the Broncos.
Wilson Denver Broncos.
I thought this was going to, when this one first came out in the schedule, I thought this one was going to be the marquee matchup. Now it's like lopsided. Like Russell's playing way worse than Lamar is. And we are very critical of Lamar, as we know. And they're not looking so hot. I mean, they traded away a lot of draft picks. They signed Russell to a long-term deal and they find themselves at 3-8. Pretty lowly.
Yeah, it's and there was supposed to be this big return. You know, Russell Wilson was coming to Denver, but it's the same thing that happened with them and Joe Flacco. Like they signed him to a long-term deal, all these years, all this big money, and he's just not the same player. He's an older guy. It's different, you know, when you go and play in Denver. Russell Wilson left Seattle. He didn't want to be there, and he looks like a different person. You know, he's one of the, I think there was something that came out on Good Morning Football, he's like one of the most hated QBs in the NFL. They were trying to figure out why people dislike Russell Wilson so much, and I don't think anybody really knows, but like you said, they have a QB issue in Denver. Unfortunately, and hopefully this clears up by the end of the week, but Baltimore might have a QB issue because Lamar Jackson left Wednesday's practice early due to a quad injury, so he's officially listed as limited on the injury report on Wednesday. So that's a little bit scary that Lamar Jackson now could have a quad injury issue coming up for Sunday's game.
Look, I take that with a grain of salt. Remember the last time he had an illness and apparently it was like his goddaughter being born? Like, at this, yeah. I don't know what was that. And that was neither confirmed. I don't even know if he confirmed that at the time. It just showed up on his IG story. So, yeah. Look, it's great to get that info out there. I'm going to take it with a grain of salt. I'm not concerned. Until it's like Friday afternoon and it's like, okay, he's a do not practice for today. And then he's listed as like questionable, doubtful. Then we have an issue, but until then I rest my case on that. But no, it is concerning at least a little bit. Cause you're like, last thing you want is to see him win the injury report. because obviously, you know, he orchestrates everything in the offense, even though he's got to play better. You definitely don't want our backups in there. So, you know, but all in all, I mean, J.K. did return this week to practice. That's a good thing.
Yep.
Kyle Hamilton, Hamilton and I think Stanley are trying to give it a go.
Yeah, Kyle Hamilton was a full participant at practice, which is a great sign.
Good.
Ronnie Stanley, he came out, but he left the field when team drills began. So not really sure where he will be for Sunday, but he at least did make an appearance in front of the media on Wednesday. So time will tell on him. Isaiah likely also returned to practice on Wednesday, which was really good. Like you said, he didn't miss Sunday's game.
Too. I haven't gotten his update yet.
Who'd you say?
Marcus Williams. He was activated off IR last week, but haven't. He's still not 100% is what I heard. So still waiting on an update for Marcus. Marcus Williams. I'm going to say Marcus Peters. Marcus Williams update on that. So stay tuned for an update from him. I don't know if he'll be back. And we're still waiting in return, or not even the return of, but the debut of David Ojabo, which hopefully should come this Sunday.
Yeah, still waiting for that. Marlon Humphrey, he did not practice today on Wednesday. Not really sure what's going on there. Says it could have been an ankle issue as well. He was another guy, you know, that when he wasn't on the field on Sunday, you could definitely tell the defense lacked a lot of spark whenever Marlon Humphrey was not on the field. So that really sucks to see him and not being able to play up to his full potential. But I don't know. It seems like this team is always riddled with injuries, and it's really difficult to kind of look at these injury reports and be like, I wonder how everybody actually is. It seems like nobody's at 100%, but that the fact that Lamar left practice early, that's very worrisome. It could be a quad issue. I don't know if we're going to see hopefully we don't see Huntley out there and replace for Lamar on Sunday. Time will tell, but I don't know. You never want to see your star QB1 on the injury report.
Not at all. And the Broncos are also having injury problems themselves. I mean, Jerry Jeudy's missed the last three games with his own ankle injury there. He hasn't practiced as of Wednesday. Today we are recording on Wednesday evening. Still haven't had any Jerry Jeudy updates for them. I know Jeudy and KJ Hamler both missed at least last two themselves. We already know Jeudy was three. Hamler's missed the last two with him. So they have some wide receiver depth issues. So not only do they have subpar quarterback play, they have their own offensive issues. And then with the running backs, you know, we have a familiar face, former Raven, Latavius Murray, on the team, who is apparently their feature back because they released Melvin Gordon, who apparently got picked up by the Chiefs and put on the practice squad, is what I was told. So, or the report was, I should say. So the makeup of the Broncos offense, is that what it is? They still have a top-tier defense. It was funny, the last I looked, apparently the last time I saw the Broncos stats, they were giving up 14 points on defense, but only scoring 16 points or something weird like that, or giving up 16, but only scoring 14. I don't know if it was the other way around, but they were like almost about dead even virtually, giving her to take a couple points. So it's like their defense is still holding folks, but they're not scoring any points. I mean, so, you know, we've seen some in the Broncos. We've seen them. They've been on national TV, I think, like four or five times already. We
had a game in London.
I mean, they were in London game. They had the Monday night opener against Seattle. I mean, take your pick. I mean, in the first month of football, they shoved the Broncos and Russell Wilson down our throats pretty much. It was like, yeah, here. And they've been a huge disappointment along with the rookie head coach, Nathaniel Hackett. So, no, for a Ravens team who's struggling to find their identity once again and trying to find a footing, what better way to a home cooking meeting with these Broncos? Because I look at it this way, this will be the test, Brandon, because if they let this kind of team hang around, bro, we got issues. And even if it's still a win, and if it's a 5-point win or a 3-point win, I'm still going to be pounding the table come next week, breaking this matchup down. I'm like, look, yeah, they won, but you're going to hear it. Be prepared, because this has got to be at least a 14-point win for me to feel any sort of happiness or comfortableness going into, because they got two road games in a row against division foes. I mean, four of the last six games this year are against division opponents. Now, the Ravens are perfect in division at 2-0, but their next two after the Broncos are on the road against the Steelers and the Browns. So, and then they come home to Christmas Eve and play the Falcons. So, and then the next two are home and away against the Steelers and the Bengals, two divisional games. So they got Broncos, two divisional, Falcons, two divisional. So this should be the get right game, and it sets up at a perfect time. It's at home. You're not flying across country to Denver, Colorado. You're back home at M&T. You're back home at Baltimore. It's going to be mid 40s to upper 40s. No weather impacts. Let's line up and let's beat them. How about let's fix all the mistakes. Now, what's going to be interesting is all the mistakes that they did prior. It's kind of like how many can they correct in one game? That's going to be the key, because there's a lot that we discussed a few moments prior to that in our breakdown of the review of the Jacksonville game. How much are they going to get right and turn around in 1 week? I have no idea. And then with the Lamar situation with the quad and whatever's going on there and being limited and folks in and out of practice, bro, I don't know. But I tell you this, they better be sharper out of the gate and they better pound this team, because, dark days are coming. If they let these guys hang around, and if they lose, dude, they lose to this team. Oh, bro.
If they lose to this team, that's the season. It's over.
That's the season. I'm telling you what, I already have people threatening. It's the season, and I stick into that too. I side with that. That's the season. You can't have back-to-back losses. To this team, no. Like, look, no disrespect to the Broncos at all, but they are one of the worst teams in football. It's a fact. Like, Russell's playing like doo-doo. Their head coach has his own clock. It's funny because we already know Nathaniel Hackett already has clock management issues as a rookie head coach. Ravens have their own clock management issues, and they have a veteran head coach. So this might be the battle of who's going to blunder the clock first or the most at this point. So, but look, they got to handle business against Russ. They can't let him cook. If Russ cooks against this offense, and what's funny is a lot of fantasy managers are like, if you're still one to hold on to Russell Wilson this long, not going to name any names, but do you try to roll him out there against this Ravens defense who just let 300 passing yards and three touchdowns to Trevor Lawrence? Don't know. That's going to be the key, but the Achilles heel of this defense is the secondary. We thought the last four games they got it right with four straight wins and holding teams down, but I don't know. This is the get-right game, and it's got to start now.
Yeah. All right, so –
but we know have a special treat. Can't forget about this. We have more treats. It's like the season of giving. We're giving gifts out here on the call, man. We got players interviewed, and then now we got another special treat. Is you're still away on vacation, so I'm still hoping you enjoy it. So I'm holding the fort down, doing all the heavy lifting. Hey, I'm not complaining, because you do a lot of heavy lifting, and we thank you for that with the editing and all you do. So very thankful for that. But we were invited to be guests on the Jim Davis show coming up this Friday. I'm going to be slated to be on there. They air 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Mountain Time, which is 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. They're 2 hours behind us. I'm going to be featured at the 10 o'clock Eastern Time, which would be 8 o'clock their time. I'm going to be chiming in, discussing the matchup with them live on the Jim Davis show. Jim reached out to us and extended an invite for the call to for us to be on there discussing the matchup with them. So very special treat we have for you guys. Stay tuned. We're going to get the info out there. Brandon, you got more info?
So the Jim Davis show on their Twitter, it does say they do a Know Your Enemy segment. So you're going to be the enemy for this week, Josh. You're going to be the enemy of the Jim Davis show. So you're going to be there defending the Ravens and what they're going to be able to do. If you are in Colorado, you can tune your radio to 101.9 FM and 1340 AM if you were in Colorado. However, if you do live outside, if you go to the team 1340.com, they do have a listen live button. So if you are around the country, around the world, and you'd like to listen live, go to theteam1340.com to listen to Josh defend these Baltimore Ravens against some Denver Bronco loyalist out there. So, Josh, you ready for that? You ready to defend this team? You ready to be, the Raven Whisperer?
I'm ready. Yeah, ready to be the enemy. I'm far from the Ravens Whisperer, because just when we have it figured out, they just show us something new, right? But no, this is going to be great. We've done a few of these in the past. We've had our friends with the Browns. We've been featured there. the Chicago Bears, love what they do there. We've been featured on their shows as well. And I'm sure there's been a few out there. Actually, most recently was the Bills this year. I was a guest
That's right.
on the Bill show, on the Bill show as well. So that was fantastic. So rack up another one for guest host, and we had to figure out how to return the favor. I feel like we're always getting invited, but we need to have folks on our show. So how about it? Let's work on that somehow, Brandon. Let's
that's true.
Season of giving, man. We need to give out some spots here on the call and do our own Know Your Enemy segment. How about that? You got the info. Can't wait to be on the show. Check it out. Brandon, please, you know, if we can, want to get that out there on our socials, you know, on the call, Facebook and all that, how they can tune in to the Jim Davis Show, because I really would love our listeners to chime in as well and be able to listen. That'd be great.
Yeah, if you can't get enough Josh, you get a second dose of Josh. You got him live on the call.
And I'm everywhere.
That's right. You got him live on the call. You got him interviewing Calais Campbell, and now he's getting interviewed in from Grand Junction, Colorado on the Jim Davis Show. So plenty of Josh this week.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
Yeah.
Wow. Covered a lot this week. It was a pretty busy week for the call. Pretty great week, even though we had to cover this god-awful loss. We had to put behind us and put Lamar's mishap behind us and everything behind us, and let's move forward. How's that? And let's hope for Ravens victorious Sunday in Charm City. Let's do it up. Can't wait.
So let's talk about it. Ravens Broncos. What's your prediction? Are you going to do points? What's your thoughts here?
30 to 10 Ravens. Call it a day.
30 to 10 Ravens. So you're thinking a blowout.
Well, yeah, if you call 20 points a blowout. Yeah, I mean, 20 points is certainly a blowout. It's way more than two touchdowns. Yeah. I don't think the spread started at like 7 or 8. I've heard it might climb up to near 10. Who knows? Last time it happened with the Ravens, they didn't cover. You know, they were favored by 12 against the Panthers, and they won by 10. So, but yeah, I think this is what the doctor ordered, and I don't think it's close. But if it's going to be a close game, I better check my blood pressure Monday, because I don't think anybody's going to be happy. But let's just get the win. At this point, I don't even care if it's 1 point. I mean, yeah, I care, but I don't. Just get the win, Ravens. Please just get the win.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, there's going to be a big tailgate this week with two friends as the musical guests. So.
Oh, yeah, I'll be at the tailgate as well. Forgot to mention that.
Yeah, you got to tell me. You got to tell me how Two Friends is.
I will. Excited, man. I'm excited. All that good stuff. Depending on how schedule falls, it might be one of my last ones of the year. Never know. But I just think my third tailgate of the year. I'm very excited about this one. To see what the Two Friends are. But I heard the Lost Kings were fantastic. So Two Friends is going to be featured. Really can't wait. Tailgate. Let's do it in style. Tailgate. Broncos Sunday. Can't wait.
I like it. So I'm going to say the Ravens do come away with a win here. I'm going to say 17-10 Ravens.
Low scoring.
I'm saying low scoring because I don't know what's going on with Lamar yet. Like, that's a little worrisome if he's not at 100% on Wednesday.
All right, I see. You're taking a cautious approach. It's fine.
Yeah.
Still a Ravens dub. All right.
Yeah, still a Ravens win. But, Josh, is that everything for this episode of The Call?
As you always say, anything and everything. I think we got this one covered front to back and then some. Quote the Raven, never mo.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. Just go over to our Discord server, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Join our server over there. Talk to all of our friends. Do our game day chat. If you missed it, you probably got it in your feed, but we did a live taste test last week for the tailgate candy corn. We did that live on Discord, so you could have enjoyed that live and in person and asked us kinds of questions and everything. We appreciate everybody who listened to us live over on Discord, so join us over there. And once the postseason hits, maybe we'll do some more live stuff. Who knows? Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord and Hive. Is anybody on Hive? Anybody out there? Did I sign up for something that is not going to be a thing?
Never even heard of it.
Hive allegedly is the new Twitter. Like, when Twitter goes down, Hive is supposed to be the one that all the kids are on now. So
got this. He's the glue, man. He's the glue.
He's a clue.
The bird's intact. I love. I just hope it don't go away anywhere. I love the app. I actually love the platform. I use it probably more than Facebook. I loved it when it first came out. I was really, really enthusiastic about it. I still am. It's one of my favorites. I really hope it don't go anywhere. I know there's rumors and all that. Hey, I'm here to stay. I love it. And I love the engagement on Twitter. It's a great way to just instant connect with folks and great way to get out there. Love it.
Yeah. So follow us on all the social medias. Tell people I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, get us ready, buddy. Broncos are coming to town. It's the holiday season. Take us out the way you always do.
You betcha, brother. Thank you very much. It's the holiday season upon us. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. We know it wasn't fun in Florida. It wasn't fun at all. It started with that crazy storm, and the storm kept continuing on the football field and then post-game and everything else. But we're Ravens. We're resilient. We weather storms, don't we? We get back. We get back on it. And can't wait to see what they have in store for the Broncos on Sunday. You know the war cry, right? Broncos country. Let's ride. We know the rust thing. We know the run. But we're Ravens, and we're the Ravens flocking. You know what we do? We fly. And we know what we're going to do Sunday. We're going to fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.